connecting our voices. Ooh, born from the need to feel connected to voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica Wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather. United we inspire. Pacifica Wire, from the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. The same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style. Pacifica Wire, lifting every voice higher. Stories told side by side, on air and online. .com.
This is Planet FM 104.6 Pacifica Wire, PW Live, connecting our voices. That was the unmistakable sounds and voice of the late Fiji, George Fiji Vaikoso, kickstarting our hour. We are so proud to be here with you this afternoon. We hope you're having a wonderful Saturday, and thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, you can catch us on Spotify, YouTube, and I'm going to tell you now and pivot about a very special guest that we have in the studio. Now, this gentleman is very, very talented. He is a performing artist. He is a broadcaster. He's a journalist. He's a social media content creator. He is an influencer, and we are very proud. He's our friend, and he took time to come and be with us and be our guest here at PW Live. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Levi Matautia Morgan.
What?
Levi! Wow! Wow, Levi!
Good to see you, Gladys.
It is so good to see you. How have you been?
I've been amazing, man. And it's good to see you behind the mic again. Look at that. We've got history, Gladys.
We've got history. Should we tell people about our history?
Yeah, it'll take up the whole podcast.
Yeah, that's true. So we should leave that for another telling.
Yeah, man.
And we're also very lucky because we've got no pressure. Your good lady, Amanda, is here in the studio with us.
Yeah.
Amanda, thank you so much. It's so good to... See, you've tamed him because, you know, back in my day, we won't go there, are
we? Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's going to take the whole podcast. I don't know, we might not be able to air some of those stories.
But it is really, really good to see you, Levi. And you're still making content. You're out there. Most people will be familiar with you on PMN, Radio 531 PI, and UFM, PMN News, Languages. And you're currently the producer of The Breakfast Show, is that correct?
Yeah, for Pacific Mornings. So our host, Will Tirite, does the hosting of all that sort of stuff. And I'm just pressing the buttons and mucking around and trying to play my part. But it's cool, though. It's cool. It's always a privilege being on there. And you know how much of a heart we have for stations like Radio 531 PI, you know what I mean? So it's still cool to be in the scene of it. Yeah.
And Levi, you know, we just listened to a little bit of music from the late Fiji Vaikoso. Oh, you had an opportunity to actually have a sit-down interview with him a few years back, didn't you?
Yeah. To this day, my most favourite interview, Gladys. That was, it's actually kind of emotional looking back at it because, like, you don't really know what you're doing at the time, right? I think I was 22 or something like that, and we were doing that interview tour, if you remember, myself and Susanna Pahulu doing the Fala Talks, and part of that was getting in touch with Fiji to see if he was keen to jump on. And now listening to the words that he says back then hits a little bit harder, you know what I mean? Like, I remember asking him at the time about where his love for music came from, and that's the thing that struck me, because we had just finished One Love. We're on the stage doing the thing at One Love. That's all fun. And then everyone's having the best time listening to his music, right? And so his influence goes even, like, way before my time, you know what I mean? And to know that a lot of the joy that people see, or the joy that people get when they listen to his music, you know, whether you're drinking in the garage or you're driving somewhere on the road or you're just listening to him anywhere, the joy that you get from listening to his music came from pain. Came from, he said, a broken family. He came from a broken family. And so singing and creating music was a way to vent. And that was powerful, man. And it hits even harder now when you're like, we all have the privilege of being able to listen to him, listen to his talent. And to know that that all came from pain is crazy, because we all get the fruits of it, which is all joy for us, right? And so powerful stuff, man. And I remember how much that impacted me back then. I just didn't realize how important that interview would be for me. Yeah. And so now, at this age now, at 31, Gladys, man, 31's crazy. Damn.
Wow.
And 31 now, that I'm 31, I can look back at that and be like, what a staple that was for me to be able to, I remember the challenges of being a journalist and trying to understand where when you go into an interview, you want to get the gold out of people. A lot of the things that you taught me as a journalist as well, and to know that, like, to this day, his words can still spread and impact people, and you can see it through the comments of his videos circulating at the moment. Mm-hmm. Crazy, man. So shout out to Fiji, because that was a big loss, eh?
Huge loss. And, you know, like you said, you've been doing this for a while, but can we go back? Because you started in performing arts, didn't you? So can you take us back a little bit of your journey to where you are now?
Yeah, just down the road, actually, was Pipa, which isn't there anymore.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Pipa on Rosebank. That's the one, yeah. It started at Unitech, and then I started at Unitech when we were there, and while we were there, they had been working on creating its own venue on Rosebank Road in Avondale, so then it ended up moving there. And I was there for a couple of years, so I ended up getting a diploma there, and just the best thing, man, because I had finished high school not knowing what I was going to do, just a little muck around boy. Dad wanted me to drop out, not year 13. Mum wanted me to do year 13. I wanted to do it, so I did it. And then I didn't even know what I wanted to do. And then I worked for a year doing a job I hated to do. I used to build glasshouses. And I remember my first day, Gladys, building glasshouses and just hating it. Right. Hating it. I remember the, I've said the story heaps of times before. I remember it was the first smoker, and I remember this tear coming down my face being like, is this what life is? You know, when you're a kid and you're at school, you don't care about like life. You just have to put a uniform on and go to school when you're trying to get to the weekend, right? But now, like, I'm in this big, bad world, and you have to make a living so that I can now... My parents won't just let me not pay board anymore. You're like, it's time to move on.
Time to grow up?
Oh, my gosh. Is this what life is about? I remember thinking, like, how tough life was, because I come home and clean the dishes, and you're just like, but I just went to school. Like, how can I do this? And then I'm starting work at 7 in the morning, finishing at 5, and I was like, bro, those times I used to complain, man, just pathetic, you know? And so I did that for a year, and I wanted to do performing arts class because I didn't want to do, like, study, you know what I mean? Like, I looked at all these opportunities in university, and I didn't want to, like, go and sit in a lecture and do that, because it's just too ADHD, you know what I mean? I didn't know how I'm going to sit there and do something just because it's something good to do.
Yep.
Performing arts came up. My mom presented me with Pipa. She showed me this pamphlet at the time, and I was like, yo, I'll come and do that. And it was just the best 2 years, man. I got to, like, hone some of the creativity that I knew that I had, whether it was music or in Pacific dance, and then acting as well. And I got to sort of hone skills that has helped me to this day. So people was massive help for me. It was big on identity too, because it's quite, you learn how confronting it is to have to, you play these other characters, but you have to face yourself a lot. You know what I mean? And you're using your real life emotions to tap into these made up characters on a script. Yeah. And so knowing who you are and what you're about was important, and that taught me a lot of that sort of stuff. Through that opportunity, one of the guys was working at New FM on the time, DJ Mantis.
Right.
And he was studying with me, and he said to me, I used to mock him. We used to go at lunchtime, and he had these ad-libs that he had to do for radio. And I remember it was Toby's Jugs. And I'm listening to him. He had a bit of like American accent twang.
That's right,
so I used to grab his paper, and I'll be like, $25 for a jug, come down. And I was just mimicking him. And he said to me, you should give radio a go. You're not too bad. And he goes, and you kind of have that personality for it. And I was like, oh, that'll be cool. I think he spoke to some people that ended up reaching out to me and saying, hey, come and have a go. You know, we wouldn't mind having you on your FM. And so that was by 2015. And I was in an interview with Teva, and then also DJ Al Goody, who was one of the people who interviewed me. He was on last week.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so then they opened the door for me, and I've been linked to them since then, 2015 till 2025 now. So
and here you are.
Yeah.
You're one of the OGs. You're the legends.
Oh, man.
And I wanted to touch on something. You spoke about identity. And one thing I've always been so inspired by you, Levi, is your strong sense of who you are as a Samoan and Māori. And I always got that from you. I always thought that was so amazing. And for you, that is who you are, isn't it?
Yeah. So my Samoan side, we're from Mulifonua, Lalovi, Fale Latai, and Vaimoso. And then Māori side is Tainui from Whaingaroa. So those two cultures, we were brought up more on our Samoan side because of my nana. And we were just tight to that side just because we were so close with her, and she just represented everything Samoa to us. And then in the past 7-8 years now, my brother and sister took up the opportunity to learn the Māori language. Wow. And so through that, I've been able to learn a lot. I haven't taken up the same mantle as them, but their kids now are fluent Māori, real Māori speakers.
That's awesome.
And so we've been able, I've actually secondhand been able to see a different side of my culture that I didn't see before. So I love it, man. It changed my siblings' world point of view, how they see the world, a big why and why they're here and what they want to see their kids go and do. And so, yeah, always been like tapped in with all of that stuff.
That's awesome. And Levi, you're in the business of media and industry and content creation. For you, what's changed over the time that you started?
Heaps, because I remember a lot of what we were doing back then, Gladys, was like a lot of word of mouth, you know what I mean? And people would know maybe what you guys are doing based on like the music that you're playing. And those things were all important, whereas now it's so content focused. And how people are seeing you now is like online. So you can't just host a radio show and just do it on radio these days, you know what I mean? Whereas you would have been able to back then.
Yeah.
Say that New FM, when I was on it, had enough exposure from all the years that people were on, like Jandals and Nixon and Nate and all those people they were aware of who New FM was. But to keep New FM relevant or 531 relevant, you've got to be online. So online is sort of the place where it's heavily, you got to put all the attention there these days, you know what I mean? You could still do the radio thing here, but if you want to bring in the audience, you've got to do it online, you know?
And, you know, I mean, you're an expert in that area. And in terms of the issues that you are hitting as well, what are you seeing? What's impacting our Pacific people?
Oh, man. I think a lack of education on things that's happening. You know what I mean? I think we get a little bit caught up on, and this is like the story of old. You have a certain generation of people that know what they know, and then the next generation come and they're seeing that there's this change that needs to happen, but we get stuck here in what the other generation is doing. And I think when that generation takes over and just stays that way, doesn't take influence from other people. I mean, we've all experienced it, and not even just Pacific Rim, just anything that happens, you know what I mean? It's hard to do that switchover. And so I think when, it's like gatekeeping, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think when people start doing the gatekeeping mentality, it gets a little bit hard for growth, because it can never just stay the same. It can never just stay however you're doing or whatever you're putting out there. There's always going to be a place of change, and sometimes people don't like change. And so that's where I think we struggle a lot. You mean in that space, right?
Absolutely. And you talking about change, you've been in the newsroom, you've been on New FM, and then you're getting up when the farmers get up now. How have you navigated that
farm
world?
Farm reliever. No, that's interesting. I started, with Pacific Mornings, the show starts at 6 and then finishes at 9 in the morning. So you're there at any time between the 5 and 6 o'clock hour, right? And which means you have to get up even earlier than that. That's a very strange place to navigate, because I remember starting, I think I've been producing there since 2022.
Oh.
2022, I'll be doing that particular show until now. And I remember thinking the early mornings is tough, but it gets easier. And I've actually learned, Gladys, that every day is its own battle.
Yeah.
It is hard, man. It is hard. And I'm just not a morning person. I'm a night owl. And so I struggle to sleep, to go to sleep at night to get up in the morning, because I'd rather just fart around and do whatever I want and scroll on my phone or yappers to my mum and wake her up or anything like that. You know what I mean? And so it's been an interesting thing to have to deal with the reality of the early morning. But when I'm on my way to work and I'm there, I'm alive and I'm well and all that stuff. Just to wake up.
And for you, in terms of that space that you're in, what is your why in terms of still wanting to connect with our Pacific people?
Yeah, just service, Gladys. It was just service. I left PMN for 3 years. I was there from 2015 to 2018. And I think you were there still at the time, right? Maybe when I left.
Yeah.
Then when I came back, I was like, where's Gladys?
She's gone. Ta-ta.
See you later. No. And I came back And I had learned a lot about myself in that 3 years. Right. It was a bit of a rocky ride because I left because I knew ownership was important for me. And so I wanted to go and start the school tour and do all these sort of things that I wanted to do, and which was amazing. But I learned a lot about myself at the time. And then obviously I needed a job post-COVID, and there was opportunity to do multimedia journalism again. And I just knew I had the skills and the ability and the know of the place that I was going to, also the people there. I knew that I had the contacts from before, those different things. But the why outside of needing to make a living was I just wanted to come and just serve again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It felt like I gave myself the opportunity to be a little bit selfish for those 3 years that I was away. And that was cool and that was great. And I had learned a lot from it. But I knew that there was something a little bit more that I wanted to offer. And so serving the Pacific people, which is what people always talked about when I was there the first time around, it never really sunk with me because I was a little bit more selfish in the sense that I'm just trying to get on. And, you know, like,
well,
I just
want to. You're still finding your way.
Yeah, still finding my way. But going back was definitely more with I just wanted to serve again. And there were things that I was learning in terms of we had come out of COVID. And then I think there was a whole lot of people, and Pacific people in particular, they were getting into politics and the reality around that because of, you know, conspiracy theorists and all those different things. And so I knew that if you could actually give people like you got to deliver a message well to our Pacific people, because what we know is that if you just say do this, they're just not going to trust you. That's just the reality.
Mm.
And we saw around the COVID time when Pacific were able to serve Pacific, that's how people started listening, right? Around the vaccinations, all those different things that was happening. When Pacific served Pacific people, that's how they listen, instead of just some guy in a suit on camera telling you what to go and do. And that taught me, like, service is so important, because when they don't feel like they're being served, how are you supposed to tell them what to do when it matters the most? You know what I mean? And I thought I need to go and do a little bit of that and scratch up a little bit on my knowledge of politics and everything around that space. So that was the why for why I jumped back in.
I remember you and Mons. It was around the time of the Rugby World League Cup. And there was a lot of chatter around the fighting between Samoa and Tonga at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were worried that it was getting out of hand, the competition. You guys did this amazing skit that went viral, and it was, you were basically saying, no, that's not. That's not what the focus
is. The way.
That is not the way. That is not, you know. And so just how important is information, the correct information, and influence?
No, it's so important because, like I said, like, if people can't, like, if you can't speak their language, you know what I mean, whether it's actually speaking their actual language or speaking the way that they want to be spoken to or can receive a message, it's going to be hard for them to understand. Now, I remember that time around the Rugby League World Cup, was it 2017 or something like that? There was a little bit of violence going on, and we wanted to make something that was funny, you know what I mean? Like, you're actually taking the piss out of, like, what's serious, and that's always been my style. Like, my style has never been formal, good luck catch me in a suit, maybe at a wedding or something like that. But I've always looked at, like, delivery, and I always felt my delivery is way more chill than I think most people would want it to be. Still is to this day, Gladys. Yep. And I remember thinking, if we can just get this video out, maybe there's some sort of, like, if we just, you know, it almost makes it like if you see someone having the fight and it had to do with the teams, you're just a loser now. You're just a loser because it's funny, you know, like, we just mock you. And that was a funny way to deal with it. And I think it sort of was cool that we could turn it to, like, a comedic thing. We could use humor as a way to spread an actual serious message, which was like, guys, it's a sport at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when you're not into sport and you're just about your culture and where you're from and all that stuff, I guess people get a little bit more heated that way. But in the sporting realm, whether you're for or against, it's always easy to shake hands after. You know, it's like funny banter. And you can talk smack and have fun and do all those things, but you shake hands after. You know, Origin, State of Origin, all those things, All Blacks, and the Super Rugby, boxing, MMA, all those different things, you just shake hands after while talking all that rubbish. But when people can't do that, you know that they're not real sport fans. So I was trying to bring people into the sporting realm and be like, hey, this is normal competition. That's cool. But when it goes and it overflows to the stupid, silly street fights or anything like that, they will just mock you.
And you've continued that very well, I must say. It's very entertaining to watch your reels. And you've managed to take that humour and you've put it to issues that then are not so pleasant to talk about, are they?
Yeah, definitely. And, like, if you're talking about, like, content, one of the things at the moment is obviously our the cost of living and all those things is a little bit tough for a lot of our people in general, but obviously my heart is with Pacific Māori, you know what I mean? So when I see us topping the stat of every negative stat that there is to look at in New Zealand, we are consistently at the top, whether it's prisons or whether it's homelessness or whether it's either health and all those different things. That's some of those are things that I care about, and I actually have the knowledge of it in my job. How can I bring some humour or some joy into the space and all this stuff? So creating content around that and providing maybe a little bit of a promotion or some funding or some support through small businesses and stuff can help. There's a heart behind it. Uh-huh. I just laugh about it as well.
Laughing's good. And for you, social media is a beast. Now, I honestly, Facebook is about all I can do. Right. I've said this quite a lot, and I just share and like. How did you navigate, and how did you know that this was sort of the way out? Pacific people were really going to take information in.
Yeah, I'm still growing in the space. I'm probably like a minuscule little creator, but I really like it, Gladys. Like, I really and have always liked content creation since way back when we were working together. Yeah. Like, I've always been big on it, and I've always had ideas and thoughts, and always been inspired by YouTubers that I saw from outside of New Zealand.
Right.
There's people with the names you might not know them. There's a Mr. Beast. There's Jake Paul and Logan Paul. There are these names of people that I saw were young people, and they were creating content and making a living out of it. And I'm like, man, these guys are literally getting paid for a living to just create content and go and have fun and do things that they want because they're able to garner an audience. And I've always wanted to do that. Or not always. I've been wanting to do that for the past few years.
Yeah.
So starting took a little bit of bravery because you have to just give it a go and see if it works and stuff. And we'll see if it works out or not. But I'm just keen to pursue it because I like the idea that, like, there's a certain heart behind a lot of the videos that I'm doing. There's humor and there's all those different things that I like. And I'm just taking a lot of the formula that they've done and continue to do and just, like, chuck it into my helping small businesses or interviewing people about things that's going on, what's happening, whether it's serious or not. I just want to cover it and just be like humorous and have some fun, and at the end of the day make people smile and make them enjoy it, because that's just how you garner some attention.
And I was going to ask you, what's the reception been out when you're out and about?
It was a little bit weird, like, a couple of times when me and the missus would be like, see people say hello to me. Because, you know, I was at Newer FM all these other years and stuff.
Absolutely.
And if I've ever had anything, they're like, oh, that's the radio guy. But people are like, hey, I liked your review on this burger, on this whatever I said. And that was weird. I don't really like it, because it's just awkward. No one's ever asked me for a picture before. Yeah, oh, no, that's a lie. I think like a couple people. And it's just weird because I'm like, why do you want a picture with me? Like, that's weird. Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm not there. Not even close to, like, that's why it just shocks me if anyone is kind of interested in anything that I'm doing outside of my family, because everyone just knows that Levi's just being Levi. And so it's just weird if a stranger does come up and recognizes you for that stuff, and yeah, it's just kind of awkward because you're like, oh, thanks, man.
And you're like, next,
And because, I'm so small in that space. Like, small in the sense that, like, there's so many other creators that I look at, like, that guy deserves your attention. So with a couple people that have said hello to me, is still a little bit like, bro, don't waste your time asking for a picture here, mate.
No, but you've got a voice, and you've got a powerful voice. Have you seen the downside in terms of social media?
I haven't personally seen the downside, but I do know that when you open yourself up and you, like, you put yourself out there pretty much, you have to open yourself up to negativity. And that's just something I've never cared about. For me personally, like, I just know that's just something that just comes with it. So, like, people have commented before, like, I broke a chair on a video, and I put it in there because I think it's funny. People are like, oh, you're just fat. But I just think it's funny. Like, I like it. I think because people try to bait you into having a back and forth and all that stuff, not knowing that I've also been that guy that used to troll people online too. So I get both sides of the fence. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want a reaction, or you want something, or you want to annoy the person, or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe they just choose to not like you that day, or they felt whatever. I actually genuinely have encouraged people to do that to my videos because it would help my algorithm. There's more people commenting, good or bad, it's gonna go out there to more people. So for me personally, I don't think that I'd ever struggle with those sort of things when it comes to the negativity part. Mm. It's probably if some people tried to cancel me or something, that's probably where I'd struggle. But I haven't had anyone in my circles than that who's had to navigate that yet.
And safety, that's also important because like you said, you're sort of protected with radio. No, you're sort of protected.
You've got a brand, you've got an engine.
Yeah. But when you, like you said, when you're going out there, are you aware of that too? That, you know, you do have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, I like it though, Gladys. Like, I really like it because, there's, you know, when you're on the mic for, say, 531 PI or New FM, you actually really represent that company and all those different things. And so you can, and they're cool with you sharing your views on different things, but you still got to be aware that you represent that brand.
Mm.
It's so cool, Gladys, that for the first time actually made content come myself, I can actually say things or do things that might be considered really inappropriate for like radio, but that's just me anyways. Yeah. And I've had for a long time to tame that. And it's cool to be like, yeah, I can actually say this now, and I can do that, and I can, you know, you might mock someone or something like that, might come across inappropriate on air for a breakfast show, but that's just how I am off air with my friends and stuff. Now I'm just doing it freely as well.
Yeah.
While still being careful of that line that people might align me with 531 PI.
Sure.
And hey, that's the guy that does this. And then we've seen recently with people who have lost their jobs because of whatever their stance was, that went out there publicly and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a fine line, but still there is that freedom that I don't necessarily get over there. Mm. Yeah.
And speaking of that freedom, what are you seeing with the new sort of content creators, broadcasters coming through? What's changed since you started?
Yeah, like I said before, with the online space, people are way more aware of that, eh? People are way more aware. And we've had people who have come through, like we get interns that are coming through to the station, and they are so hungry for Pacific storytelling. I kind of thought that was old news. Like, I just remember people coming through and being like, we want to tell Pacific story, we want to tell Pacific story. But I noticed that, like, everyone's got their own version of what that looks and sounds like. And that's cool because I'm like, man, I wouldn't do it like that. But the way you did it was amazing, and it couldn't have been better. You know what I mean? Right. So we get these interns coming in, they're just hungry to give it a go. A little bit shy here and there, but you can see in their work, whether it's via an article or a video piece or anything like that, they're just hungry, man. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I was that hungry back in when I was that age. You know, if I could have pulled something off like that. Because you remember, Gladys, like, I'm sort of just winging it. Like, I'm giving it a go, man. I think we went through a gazillion different bosses at that time, and I always wondered, like, how are these guys going to deal with me? Am I too mature for this new thing?
No, you were just what it needed. Just what it needed. And you also, I remember, you did a couple of missions overseas, so you also got to see some of what's happening in our Pacific region as well.
Yeah, and that was cool. That was cool because, you know, you talk about the Pacific often and you report on the Pacific, whether it's news reading or you've interviewed someone over the phone or via Zoom, but being there, Gladys, it was just way different, man. I went on the Governor General one of the trips to Niue and the Cook Islands.
That's right, yeah.
And that was amazing. That was because you just create relationships with people and then they tend to like you. And then you just get some doors that open for you to go and do those things, right? But seeing the things is so different. And it's something that I've learned being on air, like, I can and have reported on heaps of different issues, and I see the numbers come through and I see the stats, but the thing that changes it for me is when you see it in person. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, when we're talking about dengue cases, even right now that's happening in Samoa, when you see it in real life, that changes everything, because I'm looking at the numbers. This amount of people passed away in, 2019 or 2020 in Samoa has come back, and you're just seeing the numbers and you're reporting on it, and you'll see how much that's affecting you. Then you speak to health professionals and all that stuff. And that's all good. That's cool because it's good to have the information. But living it and talking to people like parents of those kids, it rocks your world, man. Mm. And it gives you a whole different perspective on life. Like, it makes me so grateful for New Zealand. You know what I mean? Like, what we have in Aotearoa, because the reality of our Pacific Islands, they just don't have those resources. And there are a lot of countries like us in Australia. And so being there, seeing it, tasting the food, experiencing the culture and the people of places that I'm not from, was beautiful, man. And that rocked my world, man. That was like, this stuff is real. This isn't just, like, it's not just a job, you know what I mean? Mm. I go to work and I get paid to go and do this job that I do, but it's way bigger than that. And seeing these people and hearing their stories just shook my world at the time. And I was like, wow, man, it was pretty powerful.
And speaking of powerful, I know you spoke about some influences from overseas, but who influences you?
I would have to say my parents. My parents do. My dad is like a minister in a church and all that different stuff. He works with the Baptist realm, and he's got this job and that job and does all that stuff. And wow. We grew up in worship music because of him. We were always on the band. Having to, you know, do our thing on, you know, for congregations and all those sort of things. And his leadership inspired me. So when I see, and I've had people who have led me before, I've always compared their leadership to him. And I think I'm always able to pick out, like, I don't like how this person does this or spoke to this person or this stuff, because I can see my dad as like the pinnacle of what a good leader looks like. Man. And I want to be that for other people too, you know what I mean? Getting the words together. When I see him, I see good leadership, and that inspires me in that realm. My mum, the influence of her was work ethic. Mm. And she, to this day, like, first one out, last one's come back in. And she's a deputy principal at the moment for the school that she's teaching at. And I always saw her work ethic. And so, like, nothing less of what she has done, and her siblings, my aunties and uncles and stuff, they had just have this crazy work ethic. And I've always had that throughout my whole life. And I get inspiration from that because I go, what's the minimum requirement of what is, you know, sort of people need from you and all those sort of things in these workspaces? But my influence comes from what my mum does, and she'll just go over and above. And I think that's definitely my influences in my life, my parents looking at it like that.
And I know you talked about before you went into performing arts and you knew what you didn't want to do. And what if you weren't doing this, what else has piqued your interest with all the experiences that you've had?
To be honest, I think everything has just culminated into content creation, to be honest.
Right.
Like, that overall, and I say that even though you ask, like, what have I not done yet? But there's just so many different things in that world that I haven't tapped into.
Right.
That honestly, I just think that that's what I'm supposed to be doing, like creating content and bringing joy to people and doing all those different things and making that a living somehow. Like, that's really where I want to be. And I might not necessarily be on that trajectory at the moment, but that's what I'm aiming for, you know what I mean? So I haven't tried giving it 100% of my effort yet. I haven't tried putting in real effort, the same effort that, when you're desperate for something. You know what I mean? Everything in you just changes. And you put way more effort into it. For some reason, somehow you just get it done. Now, I haven't done that yet towards that. So I haven't tried there, which is why I can answer it like that. Like, I know we talked about content creation, yeah. But that's just something I haven't gone down yet, where I can actually give it, like, full 100% of my attention just yet, Gladys.
Sure.
Well, watch this space,
watch
my friend.
Watch this space. Because it takes, we're talking hours.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of work that goes into people who are creating online, I'm just, like, in awe. So you're talking a lot of hours, and is it expensive?
It's expensive because of the type of content that I'm doing. Gladys, is like, there was a guy and he owns a business called Mr. Lamb Buns.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Lamb Buns. And it was amazing, by the way. Shout out Mr. Lamb Buns.
Nice.
And I saw a video that he made, and he was kind of taking the piss out of it. He was making a joke and stuff, but he was saying, hey, look, guys, he was at the supermarket going, hey, look, we're out of flour. The supermarket's out of flour. Can you guys save the flour for me? And I saw that, and I thought, hey, you know what? I want to make a video where I would just clear the shelf of all the flour and buy all the flour off the shelf and just go and drop it off to him. And I'd never met him before.
What?
Like, I'd never done any of that stuff. So, but that's the sort of content that I want to do. You know what I mean? That's how I want to, like, support small businesses and stuff, specifically that are led by Māori Pacific. There's a business that we're going to after this that we're going to go and support and all those sort of different things. So there is, it's expensive because I do challenges where people win $50
right.
for this and that. And so I'm losing money every time I'm doing a new video. But I love it, Gladys. Like, I... I don't think the way that I knew that you could find a passion is if you're willing to lose money over it, but you can still enjoy it. If you're willing, if it comes at a cost and you still want to keep doing it, then you must be passionate about it. And so it's proven to me that, like, I still want to do it. And maybe I can't afford it this time around, but then, like, next week when I get the money, sweet, we'll go and shoot that. Yeah. So I've lost a lot of money over it, but I love it, Gladys. Like, that for me, it's way more rewarding than going and buying myself a feed or saving it for, like, a box later on, you know, because that's still going to happen regardless, Gladys. So
keeping it real. You're keeping it real, Eva. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's another form of community service, isn't
100%, 100%.
It? 100%. In this new era, that is community service.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, and I know that there's different avenues, and you know this, Gladys. When I left PMN, it's because I wanted ownership. I wanted something to do with ownership, and I knew that. I know that there are all these different ways and forms to get money and funding and all that sort of stuff, but I've always wanted to do it. And I have, like, a little small business where I do pest control for housing and all that stuff, for houses,
nice.
And I can do it. So I can use that money that I'm getting from the business to fund these videos that I want to do, you know what I mean? And so it is kind of like giving back, but the thing is that I get so much out of it too. So it's weird to class it under giving back, because I get attention on it for online and stuff while promoting that business and trying to build a following, trying to get some views, but at the same time, like, if at the end of the day I can still do the thing, which is what I went to 531 for, which was to serve, but we can all win from it, that's ideal. And I sort of like the way that it can work like that. My ideal would be to get people to sponsor the video so that I can use all that money that they're sponsoring me, that I would, people usually take the money and promote, but I would use all that money to go and give to small businesses that need help, or go and, like, I want to, like, get to a point, Glass, where I can, like, there's a single mom of five or something, they just need a car, and I can get a place that can sponsor this lady to get a car, but I was just the middleman that made it happen, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then if the video does well, you get to promote their brand, so the brand wins, the person gets a car, and they get blessed, and they're just watching it on my platform. Like, if there's a way that everyone can win, and overall, at the end of the day, it makes the viewer happy, and makes people get some joy out of it, and that's what I want. Like, I really want to still do the thing that I mentioned before, just to serve.
I'm intrigued. I want to go back. Pest control.
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
Yeah, pest control.
Like, we've been talking about content creation, radio, and then you go and say pest control, Levi.
I've been big on ownership, Gladys. I left because I wanted to. I left PMN first because I wanted to go and pursue this thing in business, and I've always been big on ownership. My inspiration in that realm was people like Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey, when I would see these people who come from oppressed people make it so far in life, and I just always valued the idea of what ownership was and what it looked like and getting a full slice of the pie, instead of trying to wait for someone to open the door for you. I always wanted to be able to build the house and open the door for other people. That's just how I've always just wired, for whatever reason. Mm. So pest control came from the fact that my family they have kind of entrepreneurial mindsets and big ownership as well, which is cool influence for me too. And my brother-in-law used to own a house wash company. And a lot of house wash companies in Auckland, they offer pest control as a upsell. So, hey, we can charge this amount, and then if you want us to do pest control on the outside of your house, we'll charge me, you know, a couple hundred on top of that or whatever. But I thought my family tried to start that as a business together. We just do that one part of it, which was pest control. And it didn't really work out well because we weren't really marketing well. And so it didn't really work, and it was kind of just dead in the water, but we had all the stuff for it. And then, like, last year, I've still been trying to figure out what else can I own, what can I do so that what I'm getting at PMN, I can still find ways to still support myself financially and all those sort of things. And I remember thinking, hey, there was a spider treatment. The thing that made us not get it up and running was our marketing. But by that point, I had already done this, like, marketing course, and I knew how to create ads on Facebook. So the same way that you've got, like, McDonald's and Burger King and all those things, the skill that they use to create ads, I'm using the exact same way. And I learned how to do what they did and how they aim at specific audiences and all that stuff. So I thought, I'll just give it a go. We'll see. And I think I created it on a Monday, and I had, like, my first job on that Thursday.
Wow.
And then it just kept working. And I think I've had, like, what do you reckon? Like, I think there's probably been, like, It's called leads, right? When people are interested in your ad. I think I've had close to 900 leads now since starting in April 2024. And that's just because of the ability to be able to market and all that sort of stuff. So you've got to turn those leads into paying customers and all that sort of stuff. But that's how I did it. And so I started with the spider. It's called Spider Guy. We go and do that and go and I'll finish work on a Monday morning, for example. The show finishes at 9, and then I'm on at someone's house by 10. It goes from producer Levi to Spider Guy. Well, that's the hustle, Gladys. Yeah, that is the hustle.
That's the
and
hustle.
Some, a lot of that money goes towards the funding these videos that I'm doing to help benefit other people and their small businesses, because it's a hustle. It's a grind, man.
It's
so,
a grind.
Yeah.
And speaking of grind, we're just going to, you know, grind back into a bit of music, and then we are coming back with our very special guest, Levi, right here. Everything's all right, isn't it, Levi?
It is all right. So far, so good.
So far, so good. We're here, PW Live, connecting our voices. We'll be back with Levi. Cause I always come in. PW Live, and if you're tuning in, Planet FM 104.6. We're very pleased to be here on a Saturday afternoon, evening, on the second day of August. Levi, can you believe we're in August?
I can't believe we're in August, man. I buzz out all the time that we're this far into the year. Just another day older.
I was talking to our Uncle Ben earlier, and he was saying, the older you get, time goes fast.
Yeah.
I'm still in January, but now I know it's August.
I remember being in high school and, like, the time just went so slow. Those 5 years were like torture. And then 5 years goes by like that.
Crazy,
in my
30s.
Crazy.
I love talking about your entrepreneurial business, your savviness around it. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to, you know, get their pests under control, content creation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's called Spider Guy. And Spider Guy, we do pest control for the exterior of the houses. We could do interior as well, but we usually have like deals going for the exterior. And then you can just go to Facebook, in particular, go to Facebook and type in Spider Guy, and it's the black and white spider logo. And then you can just message me from there, the details and all that stuff there, and you can book in. So we've done some stuff around, mostly in Auckland, but we're also around Christmas time, did some stuff in Rotorua, we've done some stuff around Hamilton. And so it just means you just got to book in. If it could be your business, or it could be like, it can be like your houses and all that sort of stuff as well. So. Yeah.
I'm a bit out of practice. Did you hear me do that real faux pas? Levi's like, hasn't been on radio for a wee while.
She's back in the game. She's back in the game.
And for you, what advice have you given to people who've reached out to you and say, hey, how do I pivot here? How do I go from being an entrepreneur, content creator? What do you say to them?
I would actually just say to just give it a go, because you can't really prep for it. Like, you can't. You just have to, like, you have to be okay with failing. And I would say you have to be okay with a failure and just take every failure as a lesson, because it's been active for like a year and a half-ish now. And it took a lot of failures to get everything right, you know what I mean? And sometimes it meant giving a refund to people just because this didn't work out properly, or I thought I had organized this thing, or and then you have to get the right gears, and you realize certain houses you don't have these gears, so you need to go and get those things and change a date and all those different things. But you won't ever know until you do it. Like, you can't just sit there and then just sit there and research and just stay in research. It's a good thing for prep, but when you do it, you learn way more. And that's the type of learner I am anyway. It's like a visual learner slash I have to get my hands dirty and get into it. And I would encourage other people to do it like that too. And I do encourage people like my boys around me. We might get around and have a drink or something on a Friday, but I love to talk to them about that stuff, because I'm like, guys, there's like opportunity for you guys to make some good money in this, like, because I know that there's things happening in our current climate here in New Zealand, you know what I mean? Mm. And it's tough for people, and it's tough for a lot of people in the country and all those different things, but there are little practical things that you can do. And people get nervous, I don't know what business to start. And I go, it doesn't necessarily have to be a passion, because do you think I'm passionate about insects? No. No. But I just did something that I knew would answer a question, you know what I mean? Like, if you can provide a service for someone and people are willing to pay to get you to do the service, then you've done that. You know, it could be moving, you know what I mean? It could be moving people, because no one wants to get up and move couches and all those different things, but you could go and start a moving company. You could start by hiring a trailer and going and doing that, and they drop the trailer off at the end of the day. You know, there's ones at the gas station, like, there's so many different things. There's food. People love food, and you might have like the most basic idea, crepes or pork buns or anything like that, stuff that we all have access to. And if you don't have the money for it, you go to your 9-to-5 job and you start saving up for the money to spend on the initial, you know what I mean, thing. Like, there's always a way. So it's always like, just find a way to do it. It took me ages, Gladys. Like, I've been talking about this sort of stuff since like 2017, and it hasn't fully worked out till last year, but that's because I just kept trial error. And so I just want people to not just be okay with their current situation, like, just keep giving it a go and find a way. Yeah.
It's been really encouraging to see, you know, podcasts. We've got so many of our Pacifica men, young and old, who are just openly talking, having a tell and all. That's got to be encouraging to see.
It is, because I remember when podcasting wasn't really a thing. You know what I mean? There was that podcast app on your iPhone, but people didn't really know what the heck it was.
Yeah.
But it is cool to see that, man. And I think, like, for us poly men, it's been a beautiful thing seeing them be so vulnerable, like, on air, because so many people can learn from it. I love that Mandate podcast, for example, and seeing so many people come through, and they're just so real with them, you know what I mean? And everyone's got their story, and story's so important, because you can always pick something out that maybe you can relate to. You might not have gone through that same journey, but you know the emotion that came from that. Or you might not have had your mum pass away and feel the heartbreak, but your brother's passed away and there's a heartbreak in that, or your nana passed, and, you know, there's different things that you can relate to, and how did this guy get through it, you know what I mean? Or people who are successful, and you hear those stories, like, how did this guy do it? He lives down the road from where I'm at, you know? So I love where that's sort of gone.
And I would love for us to just continue this Talanoa, but all good things must come to an end. Yeah. Levi, it's your last word.
Last words. Go away. No, I'm joking.
That's the humour.
Yeah, that is. Should I swear and get you off air, right, and then get kicked out?
Well, that was short-lived, wasn't it?
Last words, guys. I don't know. I just want to encourage people to do what you got to do, my friends. I think the journalist background of me just wants to acknowledge the where we're at here in New Zealand, all the finance and the stress and the different things that's happening. My encouragement to you is to just keep going. Find a way, my friends. Like, find a way, man. And faith is always an important part of that as well. But find a way, my friends, and don't stop until you do. Let's go.
And make sure you find Levi Matautia Morgan online, content creator, also on PMN Radio 531 PR New FM, because you'll find Levi there. And that is how we do it.
That's how we do it.
Right,
so cool.
Here. And so, what was that, sorry? Oh, I keep forgetting, Levi.
What?
Look at Gary. I keep forgetting to say connecting our voices. You know, I act like,
man,
I haven't done radio, aren't you?
You just drove me back in the game.
Oh, dear. We are PW Live, connecting our voices with our very special guest, Levi Matautia Morgan. Levi, thank you.
We love you, Gladys.
It's bless you.
Back at you.
We're keeping an eye on you. And, it's been great. Right here, Planet FM. Save me a ride with Full Nature. Till next Saturday. Fast with what?
I'm going to take you for a ride. It won't be long now. Hey now, save me a ride. Hey now, save me a ride. Hey now, save me a ride. Hey now, won't you? Hey now, now won't you?
In the day with you, spending my time with you, and only you can think of a much better thing to do than to know that my ride will be rolling with you. Without a slight twitch, I fight with the mic under my armpits. Some think I'm harmless, but according to Nostradamus, the finest time is midnight on West Side Horizons.
Tiger, Buffalo,
where you at?
The ride we're gonna do. No one but me and you. Hey boy, wait a minute. Take the hand. Just down with that ride. It won't be long now.
Hey now, save me a ride.
Hey
now, save me a ride. Hey now, save me a ride.
Hey now, won't you? Hey now, now won't you?
For nature,
side by side, on air and online, tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire, PacificaWire.com. Wire. We're all on the line. Make this your
Go on.